Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masachet Baba Batra, Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Amud Bet, looking at the third Mishnah in the ninth Perek. Hiniach Banim Gdolim Uktanim. So let's say, again, in a normal scenario, a person dies and left children who are both adults and minors. Hishpichu Gdolim Et Hanachasim. And then the adults improve the property. What happens to that improvement when it comes time to divide the estate? Do they keep all of the benefits of the improvement, or does it go into the common pot? Halacha is ishbichu la'emtza. It goes into the common pot. But imam ru re'u ma shiniach abba harei anu osin ve'ochlim. But if they declare before working on it, you see what father left, we're going to work on it, we're going to take the benefit, ishbichu la'tzman. That works, and then when you later calculate, the division is made based on the original value, and then the adult brothers divide up the appreciation. V'chein ha'isha, we'll have to see how a woman figures into this, shishbicha tanachasim, if a widow improved the property, and then it's time to divide, yishbicha la'em tzat, goes into the middle. Imam ra ra'u ma shiniach li ba'ali areinu ani osav ochelet ha'yishbicha la'atzma. Same thing, if she says, see what my husband left me, I'm going to work on it and do the and gain the improvement myself, then that works also. Okay, Amar Rav Chaviva Berei de Rav Yosef, Berei de Rava Mishmei de Rava. So, Rava's son was quoted his father saying, Lo shanu ela sheshevchu nechasim machmat nechasim. That this halacha works in the first part of the Mishnah, only works where the property values go, the appreciation of the property values go into the common pot, if it was the property itself that went up. For instance, natural growth, or just appreciation of general real estate. But if the people themselves put into work, they dug, they built, they put in their own resources and energy, then even without the declaration, it goes only to them, those who worked. Even if father only left them a well, in this case, an udyani may mean a crusher of some sort of fruit, a sachar la'emtza, and that's something that they're working on. So you see that even stuff that they improve or gain from by doing the work on it, it still goes into the common pot. It's really there to watch things. Anybody could watch it, even the Ketanim could, and therefore any benefit that comes into it is going to be something that goes into the common pot, because the adults can't claim this is stuff that only we could do. We'll see sort of a parallel story. Amru ru'uma shiniach abarinu asum ochlim. So the second half of the first clause said, but if they make a declaration that we're working on this for ourselves, then it works. Now, Rav Safra, we have a story. Shava kavu azuzi. His father left money to him and to his brothers. Shkalinu, right, he took it. Avad bahu iska, he did some business with it, without making a declaration in advance. Atu ache tva'u bedina kamei de Rava. And then his brothers came and took him to din in front of Rava, saying, we should have a chelek of this appreciation. Father left $1 million, and Rav Safra invested it and did work with it, and it ended up being $2 million. We want to have our chelek of $2 million. Amarlu Rava said, Rav Safra gavu Rava, he's a great Talmid Chacham. Lo shavi girsei v'tarach lachrini. He's not going to leave his learning in order to work for a common pot. If he avoided his learning to spend time to improve the property or to improve the estate, that was for himself. Okay, so it went to himself, even though he didn't make a declaration. We can assume it based on his behavior. We'll see something parallel in the next clause. Said the same thing about a widow. How is a woman an heir here? In other words, why is she inheriting such that in other words, all a woman should be doing is getting mizonot, which is a fixed amount based on her needs, based on the estate. But she improves the property. She's not an heiress in any case. So I'm Rabbi Yirmi, Abi Isha Yoreshet. Talking about a case where the woman herself is an heir. So the Rashbam describes an example of a scenario where the woman herself is a niece of, she married her uncle, and she was the only child of her father. And then their grandfather died, And so therefore, she is standing here as an heiress of property through her father's father, that's also property that the Yatomim are getting, because that same property comes to them through their father, her husband, and that being his father. And so therefore, she is an heiress at this point also. All right, so Pshita, so why would this case be any different than the first case, where without the declaration it goes into the middle? So the Ma'udatema came into Lav Darka Lamitrach. This is sort of like Rav Safra, since she normally doesn't do this kind of work. I forgot the Lav Parish, come on to Parish, tell me Kamash Malan. Even though she didn't explicitly say, I'm doing this for myself, we might consider it as if she made that declaration, and it goes all to her, Kamash Malan, that without the declaration it goes into the middle. Kind of like we did think about Rav Safra. Without making the declaration, it still all went to him because of his particular station. And again, Pshita, if she makes the declaration, it all goes for herself. That should be obvious. She has a gain. Look, everybody's going to say, because after all, the biggest concern with an almana is she going to be somebody desirable for someone to remarry, for someone else to marry? And so whatever enhances her reputation as a member of the family or somebody living on the estate is a good thing for her. And so therefore, we would think that the fact that she's working here on the estate and benefiting the entire estate is good for her reputation. Achuli achla, therefore, maybe she's mochel, the appreciation being only hers. Kamash malan, that she's not. She made the declaration, it goes to her. Okay, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Hamasi isha livno gadol bevayit kana'o. If a guy marries off his son in a house that he builds and sets up, or he owns and dedicates as a Beit Chatanut, this is a halacha. We'll see at the end that the reason is hard to decipher, but Chachamim had a takana, that house belongs to the son. For Dafka Gadol, but the halacha is only if this child is the oldest child. For Dafka Betula, and Dafka if he's marrying a Betula, but Dafka Ishto Rishona, and Dafka if he's marrying his first wife, meaning this is the son's first wife, first time he's getting married, and she is a betula, and he is the eldest son. Fadafka shisio rishon, and he's the first child in the family getting married. So now, fine, pshita, that part is not pshita. But pshita goes on the next statement, yichelu aviv bayit valiyam, which means if the father set aside a house, but the house had a second story, bayit kana aliyalo kana, he only gets the house. But how about this? Bayit vachsadrama, what if the house has a portico? Does he get the portico? Shnevatim zelitrimizema, what if the house has another house that's inside of it? What's the halacha there? Something we dealt with in the fourth parak with Mocheta Bayit. What's the status there? The answer is teiku. Unclear whether he gets the second house, whether he gets the portico. So Meitabe, we challenge this entire thing. Yichelu aviv bayit uchle bayit, kle bayit kana bayit lo kana. And the father set aside a house and furniture, the son only gets the furniture, but not the house. We're talking about a case where the father's storehouse, father had his own sort of warehouse in that house, and therefore does not go to the son because the father was clearly maintaining a hold on it. So what did the father give him? He gave him the furniture that was there. And the Hardei Yamri, they take it even further, and they say, Afilu Shovachadiyoni, even if the father just had a dove coat in there, that maintains his ownership and does not relinquish it to his son. If you have a Papi Yamri, Afilu Atsitsa Darsana, even if you have an aquarium or a pot that has fish in it, if the father had that in the house, that maintains the ownership for him. So Marzutra Ansebe Libre is a story. He married his son off. Vitala Le Sandal, he put a shoe in the house to maintain that he's not giving up the house. Ravashi Nasfei Lebrei, Ravashi married off his son, Metalalei Ashisha Demashcha, a cruse of oil, something that the father keeps in the house that maintains his ownership and does not relinquish it to the son. So Marzutra then made the following observation. Hanflat Mili Shavini Rabbanon Kielchata Belotama. The following three things the rabbis established Ki'ilu as a halacha without a reason, meaning that we can't really figure out the logic behind them. Since they're Takanot de Rabbanan, there should be a logic, or at least a stated logic, and we don't know what it is. All right, what are they? Chadaha, this halacha, that if you marry your son off in the house becomes his. Idach, the second one is the Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel HaKotev Kol Mechasev Lishto Lo Asa'ah L'Apotropa, that if a man on his deathbed assigns all of his property to his wife, it doesn't mean he's giving it to her, it rather means he's making her the executrix on the property. And the final one, Idach, the Amar Rav, Manel Biyad Chak Neil LePloni, The Mamad Shloshtan Kana, the famous case of Mamad Shloshtan, at the end of the first paragraph of Gittin, which is that if a man says to another man, you owe me money, you owe me money, give it to that guy, and the three of them are standing together, then the recipient who's been directed by the lender already has a kinyan on it. And these are three things that are takanot or rabbanan, and we don't exactly know the reason for them. Okay, the next Mishnah, which is the beginning of Dalet, hachina shutafin shenafal achad mehem le'umanut. Let's say there are brothers that are partners. They haven't yet divided up the property, so we're still in that state as we had the previous Mishnah. And one of them ended up as an artisan. It's a little strange phrase. We'll see in the Gemara right away what it means. Nafala emtsa. The wages all go to the middle. Chalav and itrapeh, itrapeh mishalatzmo. If he got sick and then had to take money to get better, that money comes from his own account. We'll see explanations and limitations on both these things in the very short Gemara that follows. Tanahayu manut l'umanut ha-melech. So we find out that the umanut mentioned here is working for the king. The king would take a labor tax from families from time to time. This guy gets picked. He's right now a member of a common estate, father's estate, that wasn't yet divided. And the halacha is that his wages don't go to him alone, they go to the family. So Tanu Rabbanan, Achad min achin sheminu gabay o pulmustus. Pulmustus is a soldier. Im achman achin l'achin. If it's because he's a member of the family, and this family had to give somebody up, so he gets picked sort of randomly, then it all go, the wages go into the middle. But if they picked him because they know who he is and they want him, the wages go to him. So it's obvious if it's because he's a member of the family that it goes to the middle. So could be talking about a case where this guy is particularly sharp or a good soldier or whatever the task is. I might think that he got picked because of his own particular qualities, kamash v'lan, that if they do it based on family, then it's a random pick, and therefore it comes into the middle. Tana Rabbanan, achad min ha'achin, shenatal 200 zuz l'mod Torah l'mod umanut. If a guy takes 200 zuz out of the pot, out of the common pot, in order to go study Torah, or in order to go get married, or to study a trade, if you're living with us, we'll feed you out of the pot. But if you're not here, then we're not going to feed you. I mean, you can't take this money from the estate, go away to study, and then expect us to send you money from the estate in order to feed you. Why don't they send it to him wherever he is? So Ravuna says that the bracha that the house has is based on how many people are there working in the house and populating the house. Therefore, if he's gone away, he's actually diminished what the how the household, how the estate is going to profit. So that's why they don't send it to him. So, so why don't they at least send him however much his presence would have contributed? The answer is achinami. That's what they do send him. They just don't send him everything. They don't send him what his normal cut would be. Okay, chalav mitrapeh mitrapeh mishalatzmo. So we said that if he gets sick and then has to use money to get better, that comes out of his own account. So Shalach Ravin Mishmei to Rabbi Eli sent the following message: Lo Shanu Ela Shechala B'Pshia. That's only if he was negligent and got sick. He walked outside where it's dangerous. He walked outside when it was cold without being properly garbed. All right. Avav Ones and Trapemin Emtsa. But if something happened that he couldn't control and he got sick, then the fund has to take care of him. So Heichidam B'Pshia. What P'Pshia? Except for cold, right? You walk outside when it's cold. Right. So in other words, everything is bidei shamayim, a famous statement, except tzinim pachim, which means if you walk outside when it's cold and you're not properly dressed, or you walk into an area there's a trap, then that's your own fault. So therefore, if a person puts himself in the position of danger or getting sick without properly guarding for himself, then that indeed is considered a pshia, and then he has to pay for his own healing. Okay, that we'll pick it up at the next part of Mishnah Daled in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.